Thank you for tuning in to the Helium Radio Network. You are listening to a rebroadcast of a previously recorded show. To another edition of the Feel Better, Move Better, Be Better podcast. My name is Scott Roberts, and I'm joined with my wife, Lena Roberts, and we own Peaceful Warriors Wellness Center in downtown St. Petersburg at 19 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Street South.
Wow, Scott, that was a mouthful.
Yeah.
You did that whole thing in one breath.
Easily.
So, today we are going to talk about headaches.
Headaches, they're very inconvenient.
Yes.
And some people have, like, relatively mild headaches. And some people have headaches that are just downright debilitating where they can't even go outside the room and turn on a light because it hurts too bad just to even have a light on.
Yeah, we've had several of those clients.
We have. Those migraines are not very fun.
There's a lot of different reasons that people have headaches, and nobody is exactly the same.
No. One of the most common causes of headaches, now that we're talking about causes, is dehydration.
Right.
It's one of the very first symptoms of being dehydrated. And I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head, according to what's on online and stuff, but the average American is pretty severely dehydrated on a daily basis because we don't drink water very often. We tend to drink soda and wine and beer and coffee, all of which can...
Coffee is... We're not going to... Coffee...
We don't want to go against coffee, yeah. Lena, for those of you that may not know her, is addicted to Starbucks.
Decaf.
Has a cup in her hand at the moment, but
it has decaf and sugar in it.
So yeah, obviously, you know, so people tend to be dehydrated. Stress is another common cause of headaches, and I don't know too many people that don't have stress in their lives, whether it be, you know, due to work or even home situations, but. There's a reason why life is a four-letter word. It's not exactly easy, you know. So stress definitely contributes to that. It also manifests itself physically in the muscles of the body, especially the ones around the shoulders and neck that, you know, hold our head up. And that's what puts all that pressure on the back of the skull, the occipital region of the skull, and that usually translates directly through the optical nerve right to the back of the eyeball.
Right. And the other thing, go back and skip back to the dehydration.
Yeah.
We live in Florida, and there the sun is so powerful here. It dehydrates. Even though it feels like there's humidity outside, it's still dehydrating to the sun. Because from the sun and the heat here, we sweat it out, and we do not replace it at the rate that we think we are.
Correct.
And now that we live in Florida, I have personally had to greatly increase my water intake. When I lived in North Carolina, I never drank water at all. and now that I come down here, and I have to, and I don't like water, and so I have to just guzzle it down regularly.
Right.
And water is, I've heard a bunch of other healthcare professionals say that hydrated muscles do not cramp.
It's a lot more difficult for them to cramp. I mean,
right.
It can still happen if you're low on certain nutrients like potassium and magnesium and things of that nature. That can definitely contribute to that as well. But, and then we touched on stress a little bit and some of the effects that has. In addition to that, with headaches, you have a problem with this most of the year, are allergies.
Oh, yes.
So... when people have allergies and they have all this congestion in the front of their head and their sinus cavities are full and having a hard time draining, you know, and a lot of people don't realize there's an upper and lower sinus cavity.
Yes.
So one of the things that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes is some of the things that we do here in the office with our clients that are suffering from those headaches. But we're also going to touch on a couple things that maybe you can do on your own that will help you manage the headache that you have, so that you can function and go out there and be better.
Be better. Yeah. I think my headache today has a lot to do with allergies. Stress is not that bad. My posture's been kind of bad, so maybe I have been
posture.
A little bit more.
I'm glad you brought up posture.
Now that the end of the week is here and I have had how many clients that I've had this week, and so I've been in that room a lot with my head down. So I think that probably has.
Well, you had a little bit of stress this morning too. You had a little bit of an incident.
Oh, I forgot my keys.
Yes, but that created a lot of stress for you. But posture, man, I'm so glad you brought that up. So you were talking about having your head forward, and we as Americans have gotten very spoiled by our devices. So we all have cell phones with us pretty much 24/7. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about some stress, leave your cell phone behind for a minute and forget that. Or our tablets. So we're spending a lot of time hunched over and our neck is forward. Some people can't even pull their head back straight anymore because it's stuck
there.
Right,
it just won't go back.
So when that happens, the muscles that are on the back of the neck that go from the shoulder blades up to the back of the skull are being stretched constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like a rubber band that's ready to snap and break. Now, luckily, it doesn't do that, but all that pressure definitely makes a difference in people having headaches. So, what are some of the things that you do with your clients and to help them when they come in presenting with a headache?
Well, the first thing I do on most clients is I ask them, where's the headache at? Is it in the top of your head? Is it in the back of your head? Is it your whole head feels like it's going to explode?
Your eyeballs,
yes. You ask where their problem is because I like to really break it down. The next thing I do is I probably have them sniff some peppermint.
You do like to use your essential oils.
I do.
And they're
very
helpful.
I really like the peppermint, especially for headaches because it is a vasodilator. And it, you know, if especially when you say my whole head feels like it's about ready to explode, that peppermint really takes that pressure down.
Okay.
And it's not going to last
long. So what does vasodilating mean? Because some people out there probably are like, what the heck was that?
It makes your airways open up a little bit more.
Oh, well, that should be a good thing. You're getting more oxygen in.
Right. You're getting more oxygen in. It's, but I like the peppermint. I also like that whenever you are having someone take a deep breath, you're making them slow down and breathe a little bit more deliberately.
So it helps lower the heart rate as well?
It calms them down a little bit. Because pain really increases your heart rate and blood pressure and...
That made me think about another potential cause. So blood pressure could be very important as to what happens in the skull also, because obviously you need blood in your brain in order for it to function. So if you have high blood pressure, that could be part of the cause of having a headache too, couldn't it?
Exactly. And that's the reason I'm really trying to calm you down. And then I am either going to put a cold compress across your eyes or forehead or hot. I know that for me, cold does not work a lot when I get my headaches because usually cold plays a contributing factor in my headaches.
Because you tend to tense up very quickly,
right,
too. So is it possible that people have headaches more often in the wintertime?
Yes.
As they are shivering and trying to, you know,
I know my
contract,
headaches do
all those muscles are shivering.
Increase in the wintertime a lot.
Okay.
But I put the warm compress across their eyes or the cold compress. And I really start with the myofascial release.
Okay.
You put your hands on someone and you just let your hands warm up to their skin. And then you pull a little bit of a tug in the skin. That tug in the skin on a flat hand pulls the myofascial from the neck, the head, the face, the ears, everything. It does a real good release.
Where do I sign up for this?
I know you like your head rubbed too.
Yes. What else do you do?
Well, I let my fingers do the walking and the talking by that point. I want to release the tension in the neck and shoulders. And I want to also focus on the front of the neck because with us looking down so much as a society, lymph, and just there's so much tightness in the front of our neck that hardly ever gets addressed.
I know a lot of massage therapists that we've talked to are a little bit hesitant to work this area because they're worried about putting pressure on someone's esophagus and stuff like that. It's really a lot easier to work than they think it is, and unfortunately avoiding it doesn't help a whole lot.
Well, you have to look and you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have to have that communication with your client. If they're going, do you need to stop?
That would be a good indicator, yes.
But I personally have never had a client say, that's too much pressure, don't do that. But I'm not a deep pressure therapist. But around the neck, it's also so releasing whenever you do break that lymph loose and you break up the front of the congestion in your neck. And you're like, oh, wow, I can breathe so much better. I can swallow better.
Now, you're almost done with a year-long certification in reflexology.
Yes.
What types of things would you use through reflexology to address people with headaches and migraines?
I would go to their toes immediately.
Yeah, you like working in the toes for headaches?
The toes represent the head. Okay. Specifically, the tops of the little toes are the sinuses.
Oh.
So, you know, sinuses, head, anything, the toes represent the head and neck of the body. So I would definitely, for a headache, I would go to the big toes.
Okay. And is it just feet with reflexology, or does reflexology encompass other parts of the body?
And I talk about feet because I am going for my national certification in feet reflexology. But you can do reflexology to your face, your hands, your ears, and probably any other part that you really want to break it down on. But and I plan on to future my interest and education in the other types of reflexology right now, but I'm really trying to focus on the feet.
Okay. So what else would a client expect in a session with you if they were having headaches, or have you pretty much covered most of the things that you're going to
look at? Well, it depends on every person, because some people I can go in there and work on their head for 90 minutes, and that's what they need. Other people...
You can work on someone's head for 90 minutes?
For 90 minutes I can work on their head and not do anything twice.
That's great.
But then if it's really coming from their neck and shoulders... I'm probably going to work on their neck and shoulders, turn them over to where they go face down, and probably some neuromuscular and the myofascial release on their back and neck and shoulders.
So quite a few of the things I've heard you mention, someone could do a little bit of it on their own. Obviously, they couldn't massage their neck the same way you can.
Yes.
As a licensed massage therapist with all the training that you've had. But they could... Go get some essential oils.
Go get some essential oils.
They could use it in a diffuser. Mm-hmm. They could put it on their skin, on their lips or whatever, so that they're breathing it in that way, or on a washcloth or something like that, and breathe through that. So they could definitely use the essential oils. The compress, is that something that just anybody can go buy and eye mask kind of thing and put on your head?
You want... a warm compress. You can take a wet washcloth, put it in the microwave for 30 seconds or so, warm it up, and put it across your face. I do not mean for you to get it hot. You want it to be warm.
Right.
Put it in the freezer for a couple of minutes.
Is there any way that someone could do a little bit of their own self-reflexology if they had a little bit of a clue with their fingertips and stuff?
Whenever you take the peppermint and you put it in your hands... Really rub your hands, the tips of your fingers, your thumbs. You can put them, you know, rub them down and rub that same peppermint on your feet, your toes. You know, self-care. You really need to, you're hurting. Your body wants a little bit of love and tenderness. So,
and of course, drink more water.
Of course, drink more water. I do not recommend putting the peppermint in the oil, in the water, though. I know a lot of people have been doing it for years. That was the big craze. I've just seen so many people have blisters and abrasions in their mouth from
Peppermint oil directly could be a little, if it's not, you know,
diluted down really, really, yeah. I've seen it done, so I'd say do not recommend doing it.
I'm a little bit different than Lena in a couple of the different things that I do. I'd like to elaborate a little bit on that because I'm one of the beautiful things with being here at Peaceful Warriors is there's seven therapists in this office. And even though we do a lot of things similarly, a lot of times we have different approaches. So I agree. I'm definitely all about water and hydrating and making sure that that's eliminated as a potential cause. I like to tell people, especially if you're in that kind of situation, drink until you have a hard time getting up from from the bathroom, because you can't be that far because you're going to use it again. You know, make your eyeballs float. The other thing for me, I'm very much of a more physical approach with my therapy. So I really love working the muscles of the neck, the scalenes, which are on the front side of your neck, the sternocleidomastoid, which is that long ropey muscle that you see on the front of people's neck. And very few therapists are willing to actually kind of grab a hold of that and release the tension in that. It attaches right here behind the ear. So that's
and ironically, your big hands fit perfectly on my little bitty SCM. And I can't get the same kind of intense grip that you get on it without it being intrusive.
Right. It takes a little bit of practice to do it. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. And then you were talking about the front of the neck. One of the best things that I think that you can do is working right underneath the jawbone, where the platysma joins along from the front neck muscles, and it just attaches to the front of that jawbone. Oh, yeah. And if you work right along the bottom edge of that jaw, that helps relieve a lot of pressure. Another one of my favorites is around the eye socket. So yes. Your upper sinus cavity, if you, maybe I can talk you through this a little bit, but if you're sitting at a desk or a table, or even if you're sitting in a chair and you just rest your elbow on your knee, and I want you to lean forward a little bit, and I want you to take your the right hand, assuming that's the elbow that's on the knee, and put it right on either side of your bridge of your nose, but a little bit more to the top of the eye socket instead of the bridge of the nose. So you're not squeezing the middle. You're actually allowing your head to rest on your fingertips between your finger and your pointer finger, your thumb and pointer finger.
Wow, that can be intense.
It can be, but that will open up your sinus cavity. So it's a really great way, especially if you're feeling the effects of allergies or a cold or whatever, and that's part of your headache problem, that'll open up your upper sinus cavity. Your lower sinuses are more along the bottom of your eye socket. So if you take both of your pointer fingers and you just allow the side that's closer to your thumb to rest on the bottom of the eye socket, and with your finger pointing towards the bridge of the nose, that'll help open up your lower sinus cavity. And it's just really simple to do on your own.
Oh, it's made my eyes water.
but it's very, very effective way of having some self-care. But that's something I'll do with my clients while they're on the table. You know, I'll just work that part of the upper part of the eye socket and the lower part of their eye socket to help open up the sinuses so that that pressure is relieved. Occipital work, these little muscles that are at the very base of your skull on the back, is another great way to do that. Another one of my favorite muscles goes from the shoulder blade to the base of the skull. That's the levator scapula. And that is always a contributing part of people that are experiencing headaches. And all those things that are attaching to the back of your skull, like I said, transfer through the occipital lobe of the brain, right through the occipital nerve to the back of the eye. So people that are having that, oh my God, I feel this throbbing right behind my eye. And also massaging the temples. So there's just this little bit of a seam in the skull right by the temples that is a little thinner than a lot of the other places in the skull. So it's just really nice to have some gentle but steady, firm pressure there will help as well. So that talks a little bit about that. And then, of course, light sensitivity with migraines is also a very big thing. So being in a nice, dark, calm, quiet room, If you do have to go somewhere, making sure, you know, the people that have migraines all know this, they have to have their sunglasses with them.
And just know that we can turn off all of the lights in the room, and it is pitch black in there.
And I can still work.
Yes, and we can still work.
I've actually done a massage blindfolded.
I know. They made us do that in Cortiva.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really opened my... I can remember my kids, one of their favorite things to do was to come into the bathroom and turn the light off on me whenever I was taking a shower. And it was always like, where am I at? What do I do? You know, panicking. And now it's like, it's in the dark. I can do anything in the dark now.
I was in the Army, so I got that covered.
Yes.
Anyway, we want to thank you for joining us for another episode of the Feel Better, Move Better, Be Better podcast here at Peaceful Warriors Wellness Center. Our website is www.peacefulwarriorswellness.com. Our phone number is 727-822-8866. You can also find us on multiple social media platforms. We look forward to engaging you in one way or another, whether through the podcast or otherwise. And
Facebook, if you're suffering Instagram, Snapchat now, YouTube.
So if you happen to be one of those people out there suffering from headaches on a regular basis, and especially if you're having migraines, please come see us so that we can help relieve the stress and pressure that's being put onto your body and the musculature, and also opening up those airways and your sinuses, and helping you be able to feel better, move better, and be better. This is Scott Roberts.
And this is Lena Roberts.
Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Helium Radio. The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own and should not be construed in any way as advice from Helium Radio. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our website. Personal perspectives expressed by the producers, writers, and editors will always be presented as such. Any rebroadcast or retransmission without the express written consent of Helium Radio is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.